welcome to episode 361 of Fly Away. Here at Outlander Travel, we are passionate about travel. Throughout the years, we've seen many changes to the industry, but one thing that has stayed the same is the urge to explore our world and make the connections that can only be made through experience. My name is Sandy, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Elizabeth, Donna, and George. Aruba, Bonaire, and Curaçao make up the famous ABC Islands. And of those, Aruba is probably the most well-known and popular. Located in the Southern Caribbean within sight of Venezuela on a clear day, this small island is only 19 miles in length and is home to some of the most beautiful beaches in the world, including Eagle Beach, currently ranked third behind beaches in Turks and Caicos and Cuba. Recently, Elizabeth was invited to visit Aruba as a guest of the Aruba Tourism Authority, where she toured 15 properties and ate tons of food, all in the name of research. And this week, we're excited to hear about what she learned about. So let's get started. So do they blur together? Because that's actually kind of a lot of properties.
It's a lot of properties and it's a lot of food. Let me tell you, I think I've just come out of my coma.
How many days were you there?
So a total of five, but we only toured on three and a quarter of the days. We saw our home resort the day that we got there. And then the next, so that was Monday. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday was all tours.
Like four to five resorts.
And then, yeah. But honestly, it was very efficient. And some of these properties actually, like, to be fair, some properties are owned by the same company. So it was like right next door. So it was kind of one tour, but I mean, a lot of ground covered. So
I have not been to Aruba. My cousin actually did her honeymoon in Aruba, but that was way before I was a travel agent. So tell me about, like, how is it to get there? Is it really easy? Does it take a long time?
So it depends on where you're coming from. Obviously, it's pretty far south. It is just off the coast of Venezuela. So it is a cruise stop destination, but not for every cruise. You have to be on a Southern Caribbean cruise because they have to be able to get all the way down there. So if you're sailing from, you know, Baltimore, you're not going to hit Aruba. It's not going to happen.
They usually like from Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico is the best place to take those cruises, but every now and then you'll find one out of Miami or Fort Lauderdale as well that'll go down there. So it is way far south. It's also sort of outside of the hurricane belt, so that's an obvious plus. But from Miami, it's about 2 hours flight. So then it really comes down to like where you're flying from. So from Atlanta, it was 4 hours because I live in the south. I go through Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And so it really can vary, but it has decent lift, not tons of flights, but a few, you know, every day. You've got choices from pretty much wherever you're coming from. And then there is a bit of testing required to come in. There's a form to fill out. They have an ED form that gives you a QR code. So basically you have to sort of be pre-approved, kind of like some of the other islands do where you submit your test ahead of time. The thing with Aruba is they don't make you submit your test ahead of time. You can attest that you will show your test when you get there. You won't be allowed on the plane to get there without the test. But you don't have to actually upload it into any sort of digital system if you don't want to, which actually simplifies things because, frankly, a lot of times those digital systems are like, I can't read this, or there's a conflict because, like, the lab that I go to always says not detected rather than negative, but it's still a negative test. And for some reason, some, you know, digital readers aren't calibrated to that. So so basically my big pro tip for anyone is call a travel agent. But my second one is, just say that you'll show it. Check the box that says I'll show it when I get there. And then it will mean you can't print your boarding pass ahead of time or anything like that. But you still, honestly, for most international flights, that's the case anyway. Even if you upload it, they're still going to make you show it when you get to the airport. So just print it out and take it with you. And then the ED card that you generate, I literally submitted that form that said I'll show it at, you know, I will show it when I get there. And I got an email almost instantly, ding, that I was approved to go. So it's an automated process, not a manual process, where some islands are manual. Mm-hmm. So that made it really easy as well.
So they are requiring a test, a negative COVID test.
They are, even for vaccinated, yes, they are requiring a negative COVID test. And then if you're not vaccinated, there's testing involved once you get there as well. And you can opt to take the test once you get there if you want for a fee, and then you have to quarantine until the results come back. So you take the test when you land and you go immediately to the hotel and you're not allowed to leave your room until the test comes back.
Do they require a PCR or can it be a rapid test?
PCR.
Okay.
Rapid PCR is fine, but it has to be PCR.
Yeah, I had clients go in October, and she was looking at the antigen test, and I said, nope. Take that one.
Nope. I mean, it's still, the U.S. is still requiring the antigen test to come back, which we did at the resort, and they all offer it. This one I did have to pay for, which, and this might be the first one I've ever had to pay for, but it wasn't expensive. It was like $45, so for the antigen test, so yeah, okay. It was easy.
Yeah, good stuff to know, though, you know,
yep.
Those are all things you want.
Yeah, I mean, I did feel like there were hoops to jump through, but it's not like going to Europe right now. I mean, it was surmountable, so.
Yeah. Cool, okay. So have you been to Aruba before?
So, yes, but it was in 1999.
So some of our listeners may not have been born yet.
Yes. And, I mean, it's literally the previous century. I wasn't married yet. I was engaged, but I was not yet married. So yes, it was a very long time ago. And ironically, I stayed in the exact same resort. It was an incentive trip, so I didn't pay for it. I earned it when I was selling party light candles, which I know Donna is familiar with. So I earned this as a free trip. And so it was all sort of arranged for me. So honestly, I also don't remember a lot about, you know, like the island itself. I do remember that it was the most beautiful beach that I'd ever seen in my whole 27 years. I mean, I could not believe how beautiful the beach was, and I was not expecting it to be so beautiful. So the morning we had a lot of activities because it was an incentive trip. So they had, you know, awards ceremonies and like all this stuff. But then the last day we had freedom to do whatever we wanted. And most people had booked excursions, and my friend and I had booked a horseback riding excursion. And so we thought, oh, well, we'll just sit on the beach for a couple of hours in the morning and then we'll go ride horses. We sat our butts under that palapas and we were like, we're never leaving. We canceled our excursion. We bought windsurfing lessons and we stayed on that beach the rest of the day. I had no idea sand could be that fine. I had no idea it could be so beautiful. Like, I had never seen a beach like that in my life. I'd only see the Atlantic from various parts on the East Coast. So to me, it was just paradise.
So now that you've been to other islands, you've been all over the Caribbean, does it still hold up, or would you say... Really? Okay.
100%. The sand is like, so I'm not a beach person. I don't like sand and all the cracks and crevices. It's just not something that I am into. And most places, the sand is coarser. I mean, you get everywhere from like pebbles in Nice to, you know, to Atlantic sand, which is fine, but it's not sand. Right. This is like powder. I mean, this is like sugar. It's like walking through nothing. And funny story, from my very first trip in 1999, I can't even say the 1900s anymore. In 1999, because it was an incentive trip, there were people from all over the country there. And there were these two ladies from the Midwest. We had an event at a hotel a couple of doors down from our hotel. And they said, you know, you can take the shuttle or you can just walk. And so my friend and I decided to walk on the beach to this other resort. Well, these other two ladies had decided to do it as well, but they were from like Iowa or something, and they'd never seen a beach before, which as a 27-year-old, I'm like, how could you have not seen a beach before? Like, I was very snooty about it. We ran into them as we were coming up to the resort. So we went down to the water and walked along the water like a normal person would do on the beach. And then you come up. These ladies had hoofed it through that like really, really fine sand. They were worn out and they never wanted to see another beach in their whole, they were like, how did you walk here and not be out of breath? You know? And we're like, what are you talking about? So we had to explain to them, no, you walk to the shore where it's packed. And then you come up through the like treadmill of sand. Oh, like they had no idea. So, yeah.
They probably didn't want to get wet.
How does it compare to Sandals Emerald Bay? Because I've heard the sand there is like powder too.
Emerald Bay is gorgeous. And I would say that that's a close competitor. And one of the reasons I went to Emerald Bay for my anniversary was I'd heard the Bahamas have some of the bluest water. And so I sort of wanted to get that blue water again. But honestly, I should have just gone back to Aruba. No offense to the Bahamas. Okay. And I have, cool. I don't have any regrets, but Aruba, the beaches there are just unlike anything else that I've seen. And I consider myself pretty well traveled. I haven't been to Phuket or anything, you know, really, really exotic, but I would, yeah, if I really wanted a beach, that is 100% where I would go. And good food on top of it, because the Bahamas are, it's fine, but the Aruban food, you know, there's like something like 42 nationalities on the island. It's a Dutch island, technically, and people are there from all over the world. And so you literally can find every kind of food there, and really well done, you know.
So talk a little bit about the climate and the culture, because I think there's things about this island that make it different. And, you know, people who want, well, I mean, we'll talk about like the hotels and stuff too, because I know it's not as many all-inclusives as some of the other islands. But let's talk first about what it's like and why you might go there, besides the awesome beaches.
The first thing that I would say is I was there the middle week of September and hurricanes were not even a discussion. Like, it wasn't even a concern. They're too far south and too far west to be a concern for hurricanes. They don't get hit by them. So that's number one. Number two is I looked at the weather forecast for that week. High of 86, low of 81. Wow. Every day.
Pretty consistent.
Rain, zero. It's technically classified as a desert. They don't get enough rain to be classified as anything but a desert. There's still greenery. I mean, it's beautiful. It's not like sand dunes everywhere. And it was created by a volcano, so there's volcanic material there. But it is such a consistent place. Like, the chances of rain, you know, if you want to get married outside, look at Aruba. Can't promise it won't rain, because it could. It does rain there every now and then. But if you really want to decrease your chances of getting rained on so that you can get married outside, Aruba, 100%. It is humid as poop. George can edit that out if it needs to be. But it was super humid. And September and October are the hottest months. So if you are looking to get married, or if you really are sensitive to the heat, you might want to stay away there, because it was kind of oppressive. And touring these resorts, honestly, we were all super enthusiastic to see these resorts. But at the end of the day, we were all really exhausted just from the heat, just from the sort of oppressive heat. Yeah. Places are well air conditioned, but a lot of places are open air. A lot of places have completely open air lobbies. And so, you know, it's, your room is going to be air conditioned. You're going to find places of comfort. There's a lot of places to eat outside, because outside is so beautiful, it hardly ever rains. So it can be a little oppressive September, October, which is of course why Aruba invited us then, because it's less crowded. Yeah. So, you know, when you're being invited by the tourism board, they're not going to take you during peak season. So, yeah.
That actually sounds like a good time to go though, because I don't know. I'm an off peak type person anyway, and I would expect it to be hot because you're so far south.
You know? If you live in Arizona, then it might be a problem for you, but I live in North Carolina. It's hot, humid here. So, I mean, if I were just sitting on the beach, it isn't a problem. And it's so, Aruba, one of the things it's known for, the trade winds. It's one of the best places to windsurf in the whole world. They have a lot of windsurfing there. So you sit on the beach and you get this breeze blowing over you the whole time, and it doesn't feel humid anymore. But if you're walking around touring resorts, which I really don't recommend any of our listeners necessarily do, it's a harder time to do it. But if you're really looking to relax, sit by the pool, it's, you know, you will definitely say, oh, it's hot, but it's not going to kill your vacation by any stretch. So yeah, I would go. And, you know, September, October is prime hurricane season. So if you want to go to the Caribbean, I would see get a place where it's not likely to get hit by a hurricane. And Aruba is definitely on that list.
So you have one of your bullet points here is diving. And I want to kind of bring in Donna and see if she's done any diving here.
No, I haven't been to Aruba. I'm actually looking at a cruise next spring that will hit Aruba.
Okay.
Yeah, so there are a few wrecks around the island, and you can snorkel some of them as well, but the diving is supposed, and I'm not a diver, so we'll have to revisit when Donna goes and see what she thinks of the diving portion, but I hear great things about it. I do think it is a diving destination. Would you agree, Donna? I mean, that's someplace that people.
Oh, that's, I see it in the dive magazines all the time. So, and I mean, Bonaire, which is actually, that's one of the prime diving spots, and it's all right in that general area. So. Oh, yes, I will definitely be doing some diving while I'm there.
Although I did learn an interesting fact. There are people on the island, you know, you asked about culture, and I mentioned something like 42 nationalities. People do come from other places to Aruba, partially because of the weather, I imagine. I mean, I was ready to move there, so, you know. and there was the gentleman who showed us around Riu, who was the sales manager there, is originally from Curaçao. And he said that flights to Curaçao from Aruba are more expensive than flights to Miami. So it's not necessarily as easy to island hop as maybe it is between a couple of other islands. It's not as cheap, but it's apparently a very desirable, you know, that island hopping is very desirable. So it drives the prices up.
I wonder if there's a lot of people isn't there like a regatta there or some kind of international sailboat thing. I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking of the wrong
one. I don't know about that. I mean, I know for him.
You do windsurfing.
Yeah, windsurfing is the big thing there, the sport there. And then, and so I would imagine there's some sailing that goes on too.
But oh, and kite boarding.
Uh-huh. Which is sort of windsurfing. But
sort of the same thing. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
So another one you have on here is gambling. So
yeah.
There's sometimes a casino. That's like a big thing people ask for. So can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, there's a casino in every resort. And really? I didn't realize that. Yeah, I've been asked before, well, where's the best place to gamble in Aruba? And the only place I knew was the Marriott, which is where I stayed. I knew there was a resort there. I mean, a casino there, but I had no idea. But there's, yeah. And then resorts that don't have a casino have one around the corner. Like you don't have to go far to get there. And those resorts are smaller resorts. It's just, you know, they're resorts that have less amenities. The nice thing is none of those resorts have these tiny little inky dinky casinos where you're like, you get there and you're like, oh, well, I would like a table to play at. You know, I was hoping it would be three slot machines casino. Yeah. So their casinos are casinos. I didn't encounter one that didn't have table games. They're all, you know, none of them are owned by the hotel. So that wasn't part of our tour necessarily, but I made a point of asking and trying to poke my head in just to see what they were like. And Aruba has now passed a law that all casinos, all public areas are non-smoking.
Nice.
So
every casino, non-smoking. Not a section of it, it's non-smoking. Nice. So if you are not a smoker and you want to gamble.
Hello, are you listening to this?
Well, the new Norwegian ships have smoking sections that they've glassed off, and it makes it really nice.
Oh, that would be nice, yeah.
Sandy and I were just on the Encore, and it's lovely, really lovely. Yeah, you can't smell it at all, but
yeah.
Yep.
Cool. So, all right, so we talked about the beaches a little bit. You said they were really amazing, but you have here that there's 14 total.
Yeah, there's 14 total, and they vary in style. So if you want sort of a rocky, cliffy, you know, if you want to take pictures somewhere that's kind of craggy, they have that. They have more sort of lagoon kind of beaches. And then Palm and Eagle are probably the two most famous, and it's where a lot of the hotels are. And Eagle is the one that's ranked, I think, number 3 in the world right now. It was number 2, and apparently Cuba snuck a beach in there somewhere, and Aruba's really bitter about it. They're like, who goes to Cuba? You can't even get there. But well, most of the world,
everyone but Americans go to Cuba.
Americans can't, but everybody else can. So apparently Cuba cleaned up some beach somewhere and made it prettier. But and honestly, I can't disagree. Again, I mean, I've been a lot of places and I've seen a lot of beautiful beaches, and they have this like powdery fine sand, wide stretches of beaches, beautiful blue water that changes, and then the sun sets over it as well. Just in case it wasn't already perfect, the sun sets right over it. You just watch the sun disappear into the ocean, and I mean, obviously it's an island, it's round, so you could be on the other side of the island to see the sun rise, but the sunset is.
So, are there better? Like, is there? One side of it where more of the resorts are, because
yeah, the
mountains on the other side or
sunset
something?
Side sunrises in the east and sets on the west side.
Yeah.
That's where most of them are, on the west side where the sun sets. And I think that's probably where the sandier beaches are. Mm-hmm. We didn't see a lot of the east side. And what we did see sort of in island, they drove us around a little bit, but our last day was the day we were supposed to do an island tour and see some of the highlights. And our resort tours just took longer than expected. It was the one day that we were sort of off schedule, so we didn't get to see as much of the island as I would have liked. But we did go to a donkey sanctuary that also had 4 cats. And I mean, they'd saved dozens of donkeys, and it was so great. So big petting zoo, you know, basically I was in heaven and I never wanted to leave there. And then we saw the lighthouse that's very famous there, which is one of the more craggy spots. And there's a beautiful restaurant there. So I really would have liked to have explored the other side of the island. But most of the resorts we saw were on the west side.
So, and they're not a lot of all-inclusives. So can you talk about why that is?
Yeah, because the food is so good. And it's a 19-mile island, so most hotels are within walking distance of a bunch of shops and restaurants. And we're not talking, like, we're talking higher-end stuff. Like, if you're staying at the Hilton, literally right across the street is one of the best Italian restaurants on the island. And it's an Italian restaurant, so if you're like, I don't want to eat plantains the whole time, you can definitely go to Aruban restaurants and eat Aruban food and stews and things like that. But there's every kind of cuisine that you could possibly want. So what do you do at an... what kind of restaurants are there at an all-inclusive? There's Italian, Japanese, Caribbean, Mexican. Like, you can find all of those right around the corner. And the prices are very reasonable. So honestly, why pay for an all-inclusive? You know, when you go to Mexico, you don't want to leave the resort. There's nothing right around there. It's just the resort. And it's in a, you know, gated area. There's nothing else there. But in Aruba, you're, it's like you're staying in a city, except for it's on an island. You know, it's not a, it's not like New York City, but it's, the city is right there. The Renaissance is actually in town. So you have all the, you can go to a Zara department store. You can go to a Gucci shop. Like, it's all like right there. It's where all the, you know, the Emerald shops and everything for the cruise ships are too, but it's right downtown. So why would you want an all-inclusive there? You know, why wouldn't you want to go explore those restaurants? And do the hotels have restaurants? Yes, they absolutely, the Hilton has four. So if you didn't want to leave, you don't have to. The Renaissance has an all-inclusive plan. So if you, they have nine restaurants between their, they have like a, they have one side that's more of a hotel side, and then they have one side that's sort of a kind of a condo side, timeshares slash, you know, just bigger rooms. And they don't have beach access, but they have a private island.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a beach.
Now, Elizabeth, so they have all these great restaurants and all. Do they have any kind of trolleys?
Yep, or, there's all kinds of public transportation.
Something that, so if you leave the resort and you want to go to a restaurant, you could.
And then there's all sorts of, I mean, literally you could just cross the street and probably satisfy a week, you know, with a little bit of walking up and down the street. But if you wanted to cross the island, yeah, there's public transportation. There's other transport. I can't tell you a lot about it because we didn't have to experience it because I, you know, I was in a controlled environment being shuttled around by Aruba Tourism, but it's definitely very easy to get around. And that was one of the things they sort of wanted to show us too, because I think a lot of Americans, and I'm sure all four of you, or three of you, sorry, I'm counting myself because I see four windows. We've all gotten requests from clients that are like, I want to go to Aruba and I want it to be an all-inclusive. And you're like, well, the all-inclusives aren't necessarily that great. I don't care. I want it to be all-inclusive. I don't want to think about anything, because they want that sort of mentality of everything's taken care of. But this is really, it's not like you have to go far. It's not like you have to think hard. It's really just across the street.
So would you say that it's conducive to renting a car?
And you can absolutely 100% rent a car there. It's very affordable, and that might be the way to do it. If you really, like, Donna should totally rent a car in Aruba, because Donna will get in that car and we'll just start driving and find things. So, you know, if you have that, like,
that would be me.
Yeah, yes. If you have that, I know you, Donna. If you have that, like, adventurous sort of, I want to explore kind of nature, you can do it. And the island is literally 19 miles, so you can't really get lost. You just can't. I mean, Donna might be.
I mean, if you had
Donna,
to, you
Donna breaks things, I will say. But in general, you know, you will find your way back.
I don't break and cars. I only break computer programs.
People are so friendly, y'all. I literally, we all commented, these are the nicest people. They genuinely, they say hello to you, and you can feel that it is like a genuine, hi, how are you doing? Not a, hey, how you doing? You know, it's, we're so glad you're here. It reminded me of in Mexico when they put their hands on their heart to greet you. It was that sort of like genuine, I'm glad you're here. I think you're an interesting person and I want to get to know you. That these people are super, super friendly.
Awesome. Okay. I want to go. So let's talk about the hotels and then I'll figure out where I want to stay.
So what kind of hotel are you looking for, Sandy? Talk to me.
So I guess if I was going to go with my family, I might be looking for more of the condo villa type thing. Mm-hmm. So are there things for people who, like maybe a family of five that doesn't fit in a regular hotel room? Would you?
So yes. And toward the Palm Beach side are going to be more of the high rises. And then the Eagle Beach side has more of the low rises. So that's the first thing to sort of know. And the high rises are going to have some larger rooms. So we saw the Radisson Blu, which is brand new as a property, but it's actually, it's a converted condo project. I would say a failed condo project. I can't attest that it was a failed condo project, but they built it for like 9 years and eventually turned it into a hotel. So I feel like it was a failed condo project.
It went through some different.
Yeah, it went through some difficult times. These condos were enormous, 2 and 3 bedroom units. Some of them are privately owned and the residents are actually about to move into them. So you've got residents there and you have the hotel rooms, and the residents can rent their rooms as hotel rooms as long as they follow some of the guidelines of the Radisson. These rooms were enormous, full kitchens because they were designed to be condos. They have washer dryer hookups, but they're not putting washers and dryers in them. The only way you might get one of those is if you were renting somebody's, you know, property, one of the ownership ones. There's a pool. It is not on the beach, but it has ocean views to die for. And then the beach is sort of not far. You can shuttle to the beach. Beautiful infinity pool in their main building that's on the second or third floor of the restaurant right behind it. I mean, a gorgeous infinity pool. So that would be great for families, but also for like wedding parties. You want all your girls to be in the room with you getting ready or whatever. Huge, you know, and you've got a full kitchen, so you can keep all your champagne in the refrigerator and, you know, like really nice. Party it up. And there's many units like that, and it's super affordable. Like these 2 and 3 bedroom units, $200, $250 a night, you know, nice. For a big unit like that.
And this has the private island?
No, it's the Radisson Blue that I'm talking about now.
Okay, gotcha.
The Renaissance. And it's funny that you said that because we actually confused the two a lot on our trip. It's like, we're going to the Radisson. No, we're going to the Renaissance. The Renaissance is a Marriott property. And if you've ever been to a Renaissance anywhere, you've probably been to one that's more corporate focused. In fact, we had a conference there at the one in Orlando. It tends to be a little bit more businessy. This is, it's a high rise. It's in town. But it's definitely got a vacation vibe. And the main building actually has a place where you can get on the boat to get over to the private island in the lobby. So there's like a little dock in the lobby. So you just go down the lobby, get on the boat, and go over to the private island. The private island, Sandy, brace yourself. The private island has flamingos on it.
Okay.
Flamingos.
Did you go to it?
Yes, I did. And I took pictures with all the Instagram girlfriends who were sitting in the ocean with their backs to the flamingos, like they were just casually there and the flamingos walked up.
I feel like I've seen a video of a bunch of flamingos walking up on the beach and just like.
Yeah, I tried to actually do a live from there and then Facebook ate my post. They like look around and they were scrounging. I have pictures and video, and I'll try to send Heidi one of the pictures of the flamingos for my for the lead-in photo for this, but there's about six of them, and their wings are clipped. It's kind of like the ravens in London. They're like, we want these flamingos. They call it Flamingo Beach. The flamingos need to be there, but they seem very happy. They're very comfortable around people. You could walk right up to them, and they're just like, hey, what's up? You know, so
you could take selfies with them and stuff.
Yes, you can say, yeah. There were Instagram girlfriends there with their boyfriends taking pictures of them, posing,
doing heart hands and
flamingos. Yeah, and a lot of iguanas on that island. Well, there's iguanas all over Aruba. That's there's tons. I've seen more iguanas on Aruba than I have in any of my other trips to the Caribbean. All shapes and sizes, you know. But that private island is a big boon. They sell like 10 day passes a day, and everything else is for guests. And the day passes are like $150. It does include a meal. Whereas if you're staying there, you can go there every day.
Wow.
And the Renaissance, if you really do want an all-inclusive package, the Renaissance, if you really are like, I'm only going to be at the Renaissance, you can get an all-inclusive package add-on that is super reasonably priced. Food and drink, all three meals and your drinks as well. And I want to say it's like $150 per day per adult.
So you said you stayed at the Marriott?
Yep, the Marriott, the Aruba Marriott. There's actually, that area has a couple of timeshare properties there too, the beach club and all Marriott, you know, it's Marriott timeshare, but the Marriott hotel that's there is all hotel. And I think it is. Two club level floors with a club lounge, pool, and a beautiful stretch of beach. And that's the beach that I literally, when I was 27, sat down on and was like, I'm never leaving again. It was gorgeous. And I did sit on my last day. I went down there. I was like sitting there for 2 hours on that beautiful beach at a little palapas. The palapas are free. You can reserve it ahead of time the day before. They'll set up little chairs for you, little table, and then they have a menu where you can order that. You have to pay for the food on the menu, but you know you can. And many of the resorts have palapas with the little flag where you turn it up for green, and they'll come wait on you, and then
awesome.
Yeah,
yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Run, Forrest, run.
The Marriott is really gorgeous. I mean, I remembered it again. It was when I was in my 20s. It was the first time I'd ever been to a Caribbean island like that. Like I'd been to Bermuda with my family, but we didn't go, high end. I remember that sort of feeling of sitting by the pool and the sort of Caribbean shutters and things like that. But this was the first place I'd ever been that was like, wow, this is a resort, and that with a pool bar and all that stuff. And it's sort of just like I remembered it. I mean, the lobby bar was fantastic. The drinks were really well made and crafted. It was a sushi bar attached to it. So George would be super happy there.
Oh, yes.
And then a few restaurants, including there's a Ruth's Chris in this hotel. So this, wow. You know, if you want like a familiar steakhouse, there's a Ruth's Chris. But the food, and they have a restaurant that is literally right on the beach where you're sitting in the sand eating. And that's the, if you saw my picture the first night that I was there, that was where we were, where the sunset was right behind me. We ate on the beach, toes in the sand. Great. It was really great. Good food.
Yeah. So if you still are not convinced and you want to do an all-inclusive, what are your options in a Ryu?
There is a Barcelo, which I didn't see, and there's a Ryu. When I say a Ryu, there's actually two Ryus, but they're, you know, linked together with sharing. There's the Antilles, which is adult only, and then there's the Palace, which is family friendly. And in theory, the Ryu Palace is a higher brand. You know, that's their sort of their high end. If you ask any Ryu representative, they're going to tell you that Antilles and Ryu Palace are both palace level. And I would agree with that. I mean, I think that that is true, that it's their higher end. But the Palace is still decorated in the old Ryu style, which, let's just say, I'm not a fan. It's not, it's very, I feel like I'm in a Duran Duran Hungry Like the Wolf video, which I would kill to be in a Duran Duran video, but it's that sort of motif of the, you know, like zebra stripes and dark furniture. Okay. and purples, and yeah, it's,
I've only toured one Ryu, and it was in Cancun, and I felt like I was in Las Vegas.
Yes, it's got a lot of a Vegas feel, really. Yeah. a little bit gaudy. It's a Spanish company, and so there's some elements of Spain in that as well. But it's not my jam. They are renovating the Antilles as we speak, and we saw one of the renovated rooms, and that's a hit. I mean, I think that it's going to be a hit. The problem is the way that that building was built. They're renovating it not floor by floor, but vertically. So not horizontally, but vertically. So every floor is affected by construction. Wow. And I will tell you, when I got off the elevator to go see this renovated room, we were walking on plywood.
Wow.
And then to the right, all of everything, like there were doors off of rooms, like they're gutting. They're calling it a soft renovation. It is not a soft renovation. Like the side of the building is off. They're redoing the balconies. Like this is a major renovation. The renovated rooms are gorgeous, but hold off till maybe mid next year, because there is literally no way for you to avoid construction. And if that isn't enough, they're building the St. Regis right next door. They're still driving the steel pilings for that. So if you didn't have enough noise from the construction of the Ryu, you get it from next door at the St. Regis. So I would hold off. I think that if you really want an all-inclusive, it's possible you would be happy at the Antilles, you know, if you're not super high-end. The food was actually really good, which other Ryus I've been to, I wouldn't necessarily say that about. The food we had was actually quite delicious. If you want the old 80s style, then the Palace is fine. They're not doing any construction there right now. They should be.
They need to be renovating the Ryu soundtrack.
Yeah. Album. Exactly. Ryu, it's sort of the same thing.
Yeah.
So it has its benefits, and it's definitely all inclusive, you know, in by nature. But a lot of like the Renaissance, honestly, I would pay the extra upcharge at the Renaissance and do the all inclusive there if I really had to have an all inclusive. The only kicker there is there's not a beach right there. You have to take the little shuttle over to the private island.
Yeah, but the private island has flamingos, so, you know.
Yeah, and it's private, you know, and there is a restaurant on it. I mean, you know, as long as you're okay with that, especially if you're a beachy kind of person, and you're just literally going to sit your butt on the beach all day, then that's what I would do, you know. And if you're wanting an all-inclusive, that's probably what you want to do, right? I mean, if you don't want to go far. So in that case, I would do something like that. And there are a few resorts that offer all-inclusives as an add-on, and you can do it that way. The Renaissance then requires you to wear bracelets, which isn't something that I'm super keen on.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Giving you those tiers of.
Yeah. And then there's the Divi resorts. There's the Divi Tamarind and the Divi Aruba all inclusive. And I actually, we toured both of them. The Divi Tamarind literally everything is ocean front. And when I say ocean front, like literally, if you open your back door and take a step, you're on the beach. It's like right there at the beach. Mm-hmm. So if you are a beach bum, that's a great place to be. And then the Divya Aruba all inclusive is a little bit more like your typical all inclusive. Like, you know, I felt like I was in any all inclusive that I might have been in Mexico, but with prettier beaches. So. And I will say the beaches here are the focus, not the pools. Like, you don't get, the Marriott had a gorgeous pool and it also had a quiet pool, but like the pool was really meandering. But most of these have like a pool that is functional, pretty, you know, but probably rectangular and, you know, not anything extraordinary. The beach is the focus in Aruba. You're not going to find the fancy, fancy pools.
So you have a couple of properties listed here that say bungalows.
Yeah.
So did you, and one of them's over water.
Yeah. So I was really excited to see this. The Aruba Ocean Villas has over water bungalows. It is rustic. Okay. When we used the bathrooms that they have as a public bathroom, it was camping level.
Is that was one of those, like, you're not supposed to flush the toilet paper?
I mean, yeah, I don't think it said that. And I actually will admit that it wasn't me who went in there. They did have a cat and a dog on property, so big win. And I will say that this is the woman who owns this property and has created this property is an artist. And she is an artist in the true sense. Like, her brain works on a level that our brains just do not work on. I will take the liberty of saying that in a good way. Like, she gets on her hands and knees and lays down a mosaic and it's gorgeous. She comes up with these designs for floofy furniture and, you know, rustic rooms and things like that. And each bungalow is unique. Nothing, it's not cookie cutter. This is like hand designed stuff. As of right now, they have 7 bungalows that are on the beach, and then they have 3 that are over water. Only one of those overwaters has a plunge pool. So it's not sort of what you would find in the Maldives or, you know, but the water is gorgeous. The fish swim right up. It's got a lot of the qualities that you would expect in the Maldives, but not the luxury level, you know, but it's still like the food we had there was delicious. And the, like the, just the way she has designed everything, there's a surprise around every corner, just so much color and, you know, and it almost was like a fairy garden. You know, you just felt like you were walking into somebody's imagination. Beautiful. But they're building things there. They're building more overwater bungalows that they're setting further onto the water. They're making them bigger and they're adding plunge pools. So by mid next year, they're going to have options that are larger, more expensive, but not Maldives expensive. And a big, huge lobby with a lobby bar. What they're building is just it. So right now, I would stay there, but it would be at more the, I'm staying there because it's unique and pretty and it's kind of camp level. You know, it's better than camping. It's glamping, I guess. But
is it adult only?
Yes. Ooh. Oh gosh, now you're testing my memory.
Well, do they sleep more than 2 people?
No, they don't. And so I feel like the answer to that is kids can come when somebody buys out the resort, because there's only a few bungalows, right? So if you wanted to have a huge family reunion and buy out all the bungalows, then kids are more than welcome. But as just regular guests, it's just adults.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what about the boardwalk?
So the boardwalk is a little bit more family friendly. And the only reason that I wouldn't have older kids there is because they might be bored. But if you have toddlers, it's perfect. There's a pool. It's kind of a fun pool. And this is like, again, it's a little bit like a fairy garden. This is very eco-friendly. A lot of resorts in Aruba are like this. When you check in, they give you a water bottle because they want you to refill your water. And there are water refilling stations. So Sandy, you'd be very happy here.
Yeah.
But these bungalows have little kitchenettes. So they frequently have guests order groceries or bring groceries back and cook in their rooms. And then at the end of the week, at the end of their stay, if they have groceries left over, they have a donation box in the lobby and they donate those to a shelter. So if you have leftover groceries, they take, even if it's butter or milk or whatever, they'll take them right over to the shelter. So that's really nice. And it's very charming. So really there are a couple of 2-bedroom options there. But most of the rooms there are one bed, and then they could put like a pack and play, or there might be a fold out couch there. So they really say we really attract the people with like preschool set who are easily entertained. You know, the pool will entertain them for hours. But if you have teenagers or even tweens or, you know, school age kids, they might be a little bit bored. They do have a beach, but not direct access. It's across the street, and it's actually the beach between the Marriott and the Ritz-Carlton, and it gets service from the Ritz-Carlton. So the Ritz-Carlton has a Segway butlers. They'll come out on Segways with your food. And so you can order food from the Ritz-Carlton.
Really? There. They ride Segways?
Yes, they do. They're zipping around, getting the food to you hot. So it good amenities, much lower price than a lot of places, but and with bigger rooms. And each one is like an individual bungalow. There are some two-story units, but each, like the second floor is a bungalow, the first floor is a bungalow. There's no like two-story bungalows. So a lot of privacy too, really good for honeymooners. And I mean, they have porches, each one has a grill. I mean, they're definitely designed for people who sort of want to just go to Aruba and live for a few days, you know?
Yeah, that's cool. I can think of some people who would like that. That's
awesome. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So then, you say that, sorry, go ahead.
And then I wanted to mention that, because I'm sure we're running out of time, but there's a couple of luxury resorts over in the Eagle Beach area. One of which is rated one of the top 10 resorts in the Caribbean. It's Manchebo and then Bacuti and Terra. And Bacuti and Terra is one resort, even though it has two names. And that's the one that's ranked in the top 10 of resorts in the Caribbean. It's not technically a five-star resort because it doesn't have all the amenities that are required to get five stars. But high, high levels of service. And both of these places are low-rise. They have two stories. They are both very focused on wellness. The Manchebo actually has two huge yoga pavilions that are on the beach. So if you have like a yoga group or a group of girlfriends who want to go and do yoga, the Manchebo is really great for that. Bacuti and Terra also has, and Manchebo also has a Pilates instructor. Bacuti and Terra also does yoga and that sort of thing. But these beautiful stretches of beaches, I can't even explain to you how gorgeous they are. Rather private. Both of these places are privately owned. And actually the man who owns the Bacuti and Terra used to have ownership interest in the Manchebo and sort of sold off his interest in order to obtain the land right next door for the Bacuti and Terra. It's like an amazing, if you want a quiet, like stillness getaway where you just want to sit and be one with the world around you, you can't beat it. It's just beautiful. The food was excellent. The service was excellent in both places. If you saw my Facebook posts while I was there, I posted the breakfast that we had at Manchebo, which had like little apples that were cut in the form of like a swan. Just really gorgeous stuff. And the chef came out to talk to us. He was like, "I'm the one who cut the apples." And he was all excited. He couldn't wait to tell us all the, you know, so very personal service. And honestly, the Bacuti and Terra, this top 10 resort, less than $500 a night. Okay. Like, you pay more to stay at Disney World. And
Yeah,
super high-end relaxation. So can't say enough about it. And if you were to ask me what my favorite was, I would have a really hard time picking because it sort of depends on the vacation you want. If you want to be really active, then there's these resorts. If you want to be, like, toes in the sand, butt in the lounge chair, then there's these. If you want a blend of the two, then there's these. So, yeah.
So would you ever recommend a split stay? Do you think that would be like
100%. And actually I would say that like for Manchebo or Bacuti and Terra, that's what I would do because I wouldn't want more than 3 or 4 days there just because, you know, it's so
mellow,
meditative. Yeah. It's like, I don't, after that, I'd be kind of
you're like, I'm not going to be doing the yoga and
every day. So either, you know, if you want something a little bit more active first and then you want 4 days or 3 days to unplug, then go do something more active and then go to this resort or start, like, maybe if you have a really busy lifestyle and you want to unplug first, go to Manchebo or to Bacuti and Terra, unplug for 3 or 4 nights and then move up, you know, sort of ease back into reality by going to a busier, you know, resort.
I mean, I got to work in the Flamingo Beach, so.
Yeah. You can get a day pass, but they only sell about 10 a day. So I would just stay at the Renaissance.
Stay there.
And what a hidden treasure. I mean, between that and the overwater bungalows, I was like, who knew? Yeah. This is just amazing. Cool. So, yeah. Yeah, I was just delighted with Aruba, and I just feel so much more confident to be able to recommend places. And I had clients arriving in Aruba while I was there. Actually, one of the resorts I was touring, they arrived like an hour and a half to that resort, an hour and a half later. So I've definitely put people in Aruba before, and I've always felt comfortable with it as a good destination to go to. But just not knowing, you know, really everything it had to offer, it is so easy. I would feel comfortable renting a car there. I will say, the lines leaving Aruba, the customs lines, can be really, really long. It is one of the few places where you global entry will really benefit you for sure. Like 100% will benefit you every time. You know, I think Sandy, you and I've had this discussion where, you know, I travel out of the country a lot, and only two or three times have I been like, I really wish I had that global entry, because it totally would have saved me a significant amount of time. Usually it's not so bad. Aruba is one of those places where it would, and Aruba does have pre-clearance. So you're clearing customs in the US.
Okay. Yeah. That's awesome.
For the US in Aruba.
Okay. That's a really good thing to know, actually.
Yep. It's like Aruba, the Bahamas, Ireland, and Canada. Those are the only places, everywhere in Canada, those are the only places where you can do that. So you get it out of the way early, which is nice. When you get to Atlanta, you just coast on to your next, or, you know, wherever you're connected, you just coast on to your next.
And I'm gate. Renewing mine next year. So,
yeah. Well, and I do think after that experience, first of all, I think I'm going to go back to Aruba. But I think next year when mine renews, I'm going to go ahead and bite the bullet and try to get global entry then. Because it is, I think now I've had, and every time that I felt like I needed it, it's when there's pre-clearance. So if you go to Aruba, the Bahamas, Ireland, or Canada a lot, that's where you really want global entry, in my experience. It will save you time every once in a while somewhere else, but those are the places where it really, when there's pre-clearance, that's where it really saves you time.
Well, and it's not that much more than TSA pre-check.
It's no, like it's just
$15 more.
It's the process. Yeah, it's not money that I'm concerned about. It's the process. It's the interview and all that.
Yeah. All right, cool. Well, that's awesome. I'm really glad you got to take this trip, because I didn't know anything about Aruba, and I've never really sent anybody there. So
it's one happy little island that's there.
Yeah, it sounds really awesome. Yeah. I think I need to go. Yep. Need to check it out. All right, well, that's our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of outlandertravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Donna, Elizabeth, George, and myself, Sandy, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.